Well, while President Macron was hosting European leaders and President Zelensky at a Coalition of the Willing meeting in support of Ukraine in Paris yesterday, the White House's latest plans for Ukraine's future have made the front page of the Financial Times. US pushes new deal to control Kyiv's minerals with no security guarantee, says the front page headline. So what are the prospects for peace in Ukraine between European promises of support that carry many questions, escalating US demands and continued Russian attacks? Joining us again this morning to talk about that question is former NATO Deputy Supreme Commander in Europe, Richard Sheriff. And Richard Sheriff, good morning to you. The prospects for peace for Ukraine between those three competing elements, the ongoing Russian attacks, the questions over European support, and the US basically shaking it down for its mineral resources and saying no backstop.
Well, thank you. Good morning, and thank you for having me on the programme. The prospects are gloomy, as you outline all the competing pressures. I mean, the bottom line is Russia does not want peace. Russia wants to take over Ukraine. And the bottom line, as far as you said, with America, is this is a shakedown. So effectively, you've got two mafia bosses shaking down, you know, looking to see the destruction of the small man in between.
And in between, we have Emmanuel Macron and Keir Starmer leading this coalition of the willing. They say they'll come up with a plan in about a month. Can their plan, if you like, blend all these processes into something that's at least a ceasefire, if not a peace?
Well, there's got to be a peace and there's got to be a ceasefire to keep. But having said that, we might come back to that in a minute. It's absolutely right to be planning for a ceasefire implementation force, because should by some miracle there be peace, you've got to have something, you know, oven ready to put on the table and to implement. But the reality is that Russia has made it very clear that they're not prepared to accept an implementation force from Europe. And so the only way there's going to be an implementation force is if Russia is forced into it. And that means Russian defeat on the battlefield. And that prospect seems further away than ever.
What is happening on the battlefield?
A lot of really nasty fighting. I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The fighting continues at an intensity not seen in Europe since the Second World War. But Russia is not making huge strides. It's making incremental, small gains at vast cost to itself in terms of the lives of its young men. Ukraine is holding on. Russia is not going to break through. And in fact, in some places, Ukraine has made marginal gains as well. So you've got a sort of a bloody stalemate on the battlefield and a stalemate on any sort of negotiations.
How big a card would European sanctions be in all of this?
Oh, I think quite a big card. Because as you've seen with the so-called Black Sea Truce, which, by the way, is of benefit to nobody else but Putin, Putin has said, well, I might think about a truce, but I want the sanctions taken off. Now, that is not in Trump's gift. European sanctions carry clout, and Europe carries clout. And it's good news that the European Union has said, no, we're not going to drop sanctions until Russia's aggression in Ukraine has stopped and until Russia has left Ukraine.
What would a reassurance force look like, and where would the staff for that come from, the soldiers for that come from? Who would run it?
Any sort of reassurance force has got to be capable of fighting Russia. And that, we've got to get our head around this. This isn't a UN peacekeeping force. I know the Irish Defence Force have operated with great distinction across the world for many decades in this sort of area. This is a force that's got to be prepared to fight. It's got to be prepared to outmatch the Russians and overface the Russians. And the Russians have got to be frightened of it, because if they're not, they will break any following ceasefire. So it's got to be properly tooled up for 21st century warfare with all the armor, paraphernalia, guns, heavy metal, long-range precision missiles, satellite surveillance, drones, you name it, the lot. It needs proper command and control. It's the sort of a sort of force that, frankly, really only NATO can put into the field, with partners, of course.
So how realistic do you think, however much hope people may be investing in the Paris process at the moment, how realistic a reassurance force that would be deployable in 2025, even 2026 then?
Well, I think it is a possibility. It's going to take time to generate, particularly as the Americans have said that they're not prepared to back it. And therefore, that means all the capabilities have got to come from Europe and its partners. And European defence forces have been dramatically hollowed out over the last couple of decades. So it's going to be a real stretch to meet. But the biggest problem, of course, is establishing a peace to monitor, to reassure Ukraine that it can be maintained. And as I come back to that point, that will require the defeat of Russia. And that requires all European members of NATO and Canada and Ukraine's partners to put together a strategy to defeat Russia on the battlefield. And that, as I said earlier, is a heck of a big ask.
Former NATO Deputy Supreme Commander in Europe, Richard Sheriff, thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland this morning.